Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Oh, it's nice to be at the end of the week. How was it for you?
Well, this week.
Yeah.
I just feel like I'm just rushing. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like I just, and then sometimes I don't even really need to be rushing, but I'm just rushing anyway. And so I think I have to check myself sometimes and be like, do you really need to rush? Like while you're washing your hands? No. You can take your time. You can have 30
seconds. What's the urgency,
George?
Where are you off to?
I don't know. I apparently, my body thinks that I really need to get places fast. So
you're such a busy, busy boss lady these days.
I don't know what's going on. I just feel like I'm in a rush, but I don't necessarily need to be in a rush. So all in all, this week has felt very rushed.
Well, my advice to you is just slow down, Georgia. Just slow down a little bit because that's when accidents happen.
It is. You're right.
It's like a true mum.
Talking about accidents, how is your accident? Your leg?
Well, I found out this week it's a total rupture of the ACL. So I've totally ruptured the ACL completely. And I've also, just to top it all off, they call it the unhappy tripod injury. So it's a meniscus tear and it's a tug on there's another ligament on the outside of the knee. I've bruised the bone and stretched the ligament.
Oh, lovely. All in one.
Not to do things by halves. I've done, to be fair, it could have been much worse, as in I could have done the ACL, the MCL and the other one that's in the knee and I haven't. So it's a reconstruction. I've got my surgery in like 10 days time and I'm going to be fine. I'm feeling more positive about it now. It's happening anyway, so.
Yeah, it's done. You're going to be fine and you're going to get through it and it'll all be all right.
I spoke to a physio yesterday and she was like, because I'm obviously doing loads of prehab in the gym. Sorry if this is boring, but I'll just keep it quick. And she said that I can do squats. So today I was squatting and I was using the bench press. And apparently my whole aim now is to get my right leg, as strong as possible before the operation. So that's what I'm focusing on. I'm like in the gym an hour and a half in the morning and then just cracking on with my day.
Wow, that's so, I mean, James has done both his ACLs. Yep. So I know it.
Yeah.
I know it all very well, but
you
it's not
be
nice.
My nurse.
I mean, maybe not me. I've been one of those too many times. I resigned from that role a little while ago.
Right. I won't put you through it, George, I promise.
I can be on the phone. I'll be on the phone. Yeah.
And anybody listening that's thinking, oh, that's a bit mean, that's just how our friendship is.
Yes. We're just honest. You've got to be honest.
Yeah,
it's easier that way. Now, we're going to be talking about relationships today. I guess on the back of the podcast on Tuesday, we discussed a relationship breaking down with Hannah Gale. And I think it's so normal, especially when you become parents, for your relationship to completely turn on its head and for you to be really worried, like whether or not it's the right thing to be doing anymore. I mean, both of us have definitely had times where we've been like, right, that's it. Do you remember when I used to literally Google divorce lawyer and leave it up on the computer?
Yeah.
I used to do it all the time. And I was literally, I really thought, right, that's our path. Like, that's what's going to happen. And then it kind of changed. Do you know what I mean? And then we kind of got past it. But I don't know many people who don't have those blips, especially when there are kids involved.
I mean, in terms of friendship groups for me, I'd say it's probably 50-50 going through shit. The ones that are talking about it, you know, it's a very, very high percentage of people that are struggling. And it's one of those things that you obviously look at, you know, people's Instagrams, or you hear conversations in coffee shops amongst friends, and how are you guys? Oh, we're great. And it's very rare that you actually sit with a friend and go, oh my God, it's fucking shit. Yeah, my relationship is dog poo. We're not talking, we're not having sex, we argue all the time. You know, there's been a complete breakdown in all of the things that kept us together. It's very rare that somebody will bear those elements to you, because you want to protect your relationship, you want to protect your partner, you want to protect yourself, you want everybody to think that things are going okay. But let's be honest here, they're probably not.
No. And like you say, actually, Zoe, like if you're, you know, sitting listening to this and thinking you're the only one going through it because people in your friendship group like won't talk about it, I promise you, if you start opening up to your friends about it, then your friends will do the same. Like it's always you know, if I go out with, you know, girls for a few drinks or whatever, if I'm the one who starts talking about it first, it's almost like everyone's shoulders drop and they're like, oh, thank God, now we can talk about it as well. But then I sort of get that it is a private thing as well. You know, you don't want people to necessarily think badly of your partner. That's the other thing, isn't it? Like if you know you want to stay together, you almost don't want to tell friends and family things because you think, oh, I don't want them to like judge or 100%. Think badly. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
And actually in some cases, it's not even, you know, the partner or, you know, sometimes not even one person's fault. It's just a total breakdown of two people that can't figure it out. But let me tell you, and George, I'll pick up where Georgia left off there by saying that you're not alone. We have had hundreds of messages from people. We're going to keep everyone anonymous today because I think that's just the way it's going to be. But loads of people struggling with relationships, romantic relationships, but also relationships with their mother-in-laws, with their friends. We're going to, let's just kick things off. Two children, youngest is 5 months old. I feel like I'm losing connection to my husband and we're just coexisting.
I'm so sorry that you're feeling like that. I really am, because it's rubbish. But I had 5 months into having a baby, I don't know what the circumstances, I don't know what it's been like, you know, if there've been issues or sleep or anything like that, but I do think that first year you kind of are in like the trenches and a lot of it does feel like survival, and you're literally just, like you said, just surviving. And so, your relationship probably won't feel as, I guess, alive as it maybe has been before. If you've got through it, you know, already, like with your first, this is now your second, you'll probably know that. And I do think when you have two, it just takes up more time. Like there is even less time than there was before for the two of you. So I think there's like a level of acceptance and sort of, as long as you're communicating that you feel like that, it's not like you just don't care. You obviously do care, otherwise you wouldn't have sent this in. And that you both know that you're both thinking about each other and, you know, you really do want to get things back the way they were or to some sort of new normal. I think that's like the first step, just acknowledging that you're not happy with it just being like this and you do want it to get better.
Yeah, and actually I'll say, because I think a lot of times if you try and raise these things, one party can feel that it's them that's being blamed for it. So if, you know, as we know, you know, I'll just generalize the sexes here, but generally men can be a little bit more defensive because they think we're trying to attack them on various things. So if you try and raise it and go, look, I'm not happy. But why are you not happy? Well, you're not happy because it's my fault, isn't it? And then you're suddenly in this like war of like, it's not your fault, I'm just saying that I'm not feeling in a great space, and can we try and create some more time for us? There are definitely things that you can do and the conversations that you can have, like this ideal of, oh, let's go on a date night. It just doesn't happen. Childcare, the cost of all of it. But there are certain things, maybe in the morning being like, look, I'd really like us to just have some time together this evening where we just put our phones down and the two of us just have dinner together. And that dinner might last 20 minutes where you're just sitting, you know, with cushions on the bloody floor or whatever, or around the wherever you have your dinner, but just creating that space where it's just you two away from it can create a connection. You know, actually talking about things other than, you know, have you been to the supermarket to pick up the nappies? You know, who's collecting the kids from school on which date? You know, those sorts of like boring. Yeah. They're just mundane. They're not proper conversations. Creating a conversation between the two of you will form a connection, and everything else will come. You know, we've done an amazing podcast about, we did about all the different kinds of sex that you can have, i.e. we're not talking about penetrative sex. We're talking about like touch and cuddles and kissing and all that side of things, which really bring two people together if sex isn't on your agenda at the moment. Have a little listen to that. We'll link it as well because it's brilliant.
I love that. Let's go into this one. This is a tricky one. Husband had an affair when I was 7 months pregnant. I forgave him, had been doing better, but now he's done it again. I have a 3-year-old and 6-month-old. I think it's time for him to leave, but God, it's so hard.
I mean, I'm just going to jump in here and I'm just going to say, firstly, I'm so sorry that that's what you're going through. That is absolutely horrendous. And you must feel really, really angry and really upset, and all the trust has been broken. You've forgiven him once. He's done it to you again. You know, me and Georgia aren't here to tell you what to do with your life, but our advice is, unfortunately, for me, I know where my standards are. I would be the person that could forgive an affair. I know that I could. I would have it in me to be able to. If my partner said to me, you know what, I'm sorry, I fucked up, I'll do anything I can to save this marriage, to save the family, I'd be able to stay. If he did it again, he would be out the door. But that's because that's where I'm at.
No, I'm exactly the same. And also, we don't know. I mean, we don't know circumstances. So, you know, maybe we're, you know, not right on this one. But I think the fact you've said, I think it's time for him to leave, I think that's your decision. Like, I think you know what you want to do. And if you listen to the episode with Hannah from Tuesday, all you need to do is like make it happen. Like, you just need to pull the plaster off and just decide, and you'll know instantly in that moment if it was the right decision. And it's not going to be easy. It won't, will it? It's not going to be easy, but I think ultimately you will be happier.
And also ask yourself the question, can you ever really trust him again? Because trust is so precious, and I think you can rebuild trust. I think infidelity, I think you really can, through therapy and communication and the partner showing willing, you know, that there aren't any secrets.
We're totally here for you. And only you know what's best, but either way, you're gonna get through this, and
you are.
Things will get better, and I'm so sorry that it's happened.
Okay, let's go to another one here. How to stop feeling in constant competition with your partner. I feel like both of us are always trying to prove what we've done to contribute, oh my God, to kids, house, etc. Oh my God, we sometimes do this.
I'm not laughing, but it's only because I can relate so much. Like, I am like actually the least competitive person in the world when it comes to like board games and sport and anything like that, right? James is fiercely competitive about everything, okay? The only person I'm ever competitive with is him. Like, I'm not competitive with anyone else, just him. Because we do exactly the same. Like, I still do it now, and we've had loads of conversations about it. Like, I feel like I'm always need to prove what I've been doing. Like, I don't know what it is. It's so weird. And it's almost because I want to show him that I'm doing more than him. But I don't know why, because he knows that and it's obvious. Do you know what I mean? He knows. He feels bad about it, but
also,
he's not
here. What do you want him to say to you? Well done.
That's what I mean. Exactly. And he does. And that is the crux of it, actually. When we came to sort of like loggerheads about it, where he was showing, listen, I'm just starting a new career. I'm literally working two jobs. I'm sorry that I'm not around so much anymore. I know you're doing like loads of stuff. It was almost just the acknowledgement from both parties. Like, and I think that's kind of when you're in a competition, it's both of you almost just want acknowledgement of what the other one is doing. So as soon as I said to him, do you know what? You're right. Like, I totally appreciate that your life has changed a lot recently and that you're doing all of this, and I'm really proud of you. Thank you. And he said, and I'm so sorry that you're having to pick up the pieces also while you're still working. And I promise as soon as things change, I will step in more, and thank you. And I think that's really helped us.
Well, I love
really, really, it has really, really helped us. But it wasn't one conversation. It was maybe 10.
No, it took a long time, didn't it? Yeah.
And also just to break the cycle. I think that's what it is. Sometimes it's just like, just breaking the cycle and being like, hang on a minute. Why are we competing with each other? We're meant to be on the same team.
Teammates.
We're not supposed to be competing. And you know, it's not always going to be even, is it? Like, it's not. Sometimes one person will be doing more than the other.
So my whole thing here is how valued do you feel in your partnership? So if you're not valued or you feel like your partner isn't showing gratitude towards the things that you do, you're going to constantly want to prove to them or try to prove to them that you're doing stuff, right? And then that comes down. And then suddenly we've got this competition going on, like you were saying, and you suddenly stop being teammates and you start being rivals. So yeah. I would, if I were you, there's really amazing like technique that you can do with the check-in. Checking in is the best thing that you can do in your relationship, by the way. And it doesn't take very long. We do it on a Sunday evening. But in those moments, we do something called the gratitude minute, where we basically spend 1 minute telling the other person why we're grateful for the other one. So it could be anything as much like small as like, thank you so much for breaking down all of my Amazon boxes and taking them out. Because left up to me, I would just leave them outside of the house until they built up, and then that, you know, it would become like another house. It'd be a nightmare. Oh, so
I just hope the rain gets them and squishes them down for me.
That's my mentality. Yeah. So and like I'll say, you know, and then he'll turn around to me and say, I'm really grateful for you, you know, for picking up the slack with the kids this week, or getting through all the washing that you did, or doing it. And it just makes me feel like he sees me. So how about having a conversation with him and just saying, I feel like we're constantly competing against one another. Can we just try checking in for 5 minutes and just saying what we're grateful to the other person for? And let's just see if that helps. Because then you are valued, then you are seen. And we just want to be seen, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's all it is. It's just like the acknowledgement and exactly, feeling valued. Should we go to this one? My husband is incredibly stressed with his business, and some days where getting him to get up and get to work is really, really hard. I'm finding it hard to manage everything at home, my work, and then trying my best to help and support him as much as possible. I've lost 3 male friends to suicide, and although I don't believe he is, and he says he isn't, my anxiety is through the roof, worrying about how he's coping. We have massive highs as a couple and then lows. I'm really low with lots of arguments.
Oh, that's really hard. That's so difficult, because that's taking on somebody else. It's that you're like you're completely burdened with somebody else and trying to pull them through.
It's hard.
The depression, and that is, wow, that's exhausting.
And it's really hard when it's somebody you love and care about so much is going through something like that. And, you know, I know he says that he isn't, but it sounds very much like he is, if he's finding it hard to get out of bed and go to work and he's incredibly stressed. And how do you support someone through like a time of poor mental health like that? Like how do you do that whilst also maintaining everything else?
Yeah, so there's only so much that you, so firstly to this person, there's only so much that you can do. So you're getting to a point where we both feel it's screaming overwhelm, like overload. Yeah. You know, you can't take any more. That's what I'm hearing from that message. Yeah. And absolutely right. You can only do what you can do. So you need to be there, firstly, for yourself and the kids, and then obviously to be there to support your partner. And you have to make sure that you set very clear boundaries on that, that it's not just him sapping, or you giving, because you'll get to the end of the day, you'll be absolutely broken. You won't be looking after yourself or the kids very, and it's just a cycle of that. And I think the second thing is, like, he has to commit to you that he's going to get the help that he needs. And you need to explain to him that your anxiety is so severe that you're constantly worried about him, that actually there has to come a point where he has to get the help, because it's not your responsibility to bring him out of this his period of poor mental health.
No, it's not. And there's like Zoe says, there's only so much you can do for somebody else, because ultimately it's up to them to make the decision. And I think as long as you're sort of maintaining everything else and being strong, that is doing something for him, you know, like you're keeping yourself, you know, going and keeping everybody going, then you are actually contributing and helping him by doing that. Because if you start to, I guess, decline as well, then that's that's no good for either of you.
No.
So, yeah.
You know what? I went through this last year, and I've spoken about this, but Dozer had his, he was in such a bad mental state. I mean, he talks about it openly without going into too much detail. Like, I felt like I lost my husband. I mean, he was a wreck of a person, and he was very emotional, not really being able to engage, you know, very sad all the time. It was really, really, really hard for me. And my one of my best mates turned around to me and said, ultimately, you have to still try and find the joy in your life. And that was like a big turning point, because I wanted to be there for, to support him, and I always will be. But at the same time, Jesus, I'm not just there to,
exactly, to just
pick up all the pieces all the time.
Exactly.
No.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
I'm 32 with two kids. I have no friends. I find it so hard to make and keep them, and I feel really lonely. That's really sad.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that you feel lonely.
Yeah.
But
horrible.
You know what? It's not easy when you've got two kids to maintain friendships. It's actually, it's really not. And I guess, is it, if you're feeling lonely, you obviously do want to form friendships and make friendships. And I guess if that is your priority, like we've done it before, haven't we, Zola? Like where we say we're barely seeing our friends anymore. We just feel like too overwhelmed to even reply sometimes because you just got so much going on. But I think we almost need to carve out some time for it, like as part of your life, like almost prioritize it for a little while. And the fact that you've got, you know, two children, I sometimes think that can open doors to friendships as well. So like maybe it's making friends with their friends' parents. So it could be like inviting them over for a play date. Like that's a really great way of making friends. And also, even if they're not going to be your like lifelong friends, they're just, you know, just having another adult round and having a cup of tea and a chat. Like even if it's for an hour, you know, on a Friday afternoon or when, you know, a Saturday afternoon, whenever it is, I think that can really help like ease that loneliness. Just like, just to chat, like just to chat to another adult who maybe has similar age kids or whatever.
Do you know what? You're really good at this, George. And actually that's probably the difference between you and I, because you have got loads of friends. Like I see you really social. You're always doing stuff for your mates. You've got loads of mum mates as well. You go off and stay at various places and go on adventures with them. And like, you're really, and you're an amazing friend to me. Amazing. But you also really prioritize your family at the same time. So I'm always in awe of how much you do with your friends. I find if I don't have the deep connection, I find, so I could be standing in a room with people that I don't necessarily connect with. There could be a lot of noise and chatter around me, but I could feel my loneliness. I could feel the most lonely that I've ever felt, because I feel
in
like people don't
really. In a room full of people.
And I think a lot of people can feel the same. Actually, sometimes in life, all we need is one soulmate who truly gets us, who can like jump, soul jump and be really, and pick up when we need them and look after us and have those conversations that are actually, I find the small talk quite hard work. And I think maybe lots of people find that as well. So you could, even if you've had loads of people that you just chat to, you've got two kids, like Georgia said, that could open up the door to meeting other people.
Yeah.
So when you do the school pickups, if they're at school or nursery drop-offs or whatever it is, just turning to somebody and being like, hi, I'm, you know, da-da-da, do you fancy grabbing a coffee? Or should we set up a play date? Like Georgia said, who knows where that is going to lead?
Exactly. And also you can have different friendships for different like things, if that makes sense. Like I've got different groups of friends that would not get on with each other. Do you know what I mean? So like,
yes.
And they are totally different. And I enjoy spending time with them for completely different reasons.
Right.
And so I don't think you're always necessarily going to get everything from one person. I mean, no. I have best friends, you know, like who I can talk to about everything. And definitely
I could do anything
with them. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And like Zoe says, like you can build deep connections with people, but not everyone is going to be like that. I think you only meet people like that a handful of times in your life.
We love mush mums as well, don't we, George?
Yeah, or peanut. Peanut's really good. But I do really think that like your kids are kind of can help open, because also you've got that something in common straight away. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like the icebreaker, isn't it?
I've met this mate at school called Lara, and her son Dylan is in love with Luna. And like, aww. I mean, wrote her a Valentine's Day card just simply saying, Luna, I love you. And like, aww. It was just so cute. And I really
love
her.
I love the name as well.
Yeah, Dylan and Luna. And yeah, he's absolutely obsessed with her. But she's obsessed with drinking wine on a Friday. She's always swearing. She likes to go out dancing. And I'm like, you're my people. Let's be friends.
So it's drinking, swearing and dancing. There we go. You know
sorted.
What makes Zoe tick? Do you think it's possible to stay in love with your partner after children? How to keep the flame? That's
100%.
Isn't it? Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I actually listened to, I think it was Anna Williamson. She's been on the podcast before. And she was talking about like what actually being in love is. And it's so different to what you see in a movie and what is actually, you know, what happens in day-to-day life. And she said that basically, I can't remember what the timings are, but say like after 6 months, that like real lust thing kind of goes. Like no matter how much you fancy someone, after 6 months or 12 months, whatever she said, of being with someone, like, that kind of goes. And if you stay together and you still feel a connection, then that is like being in love. And so often people are so worried that when they've lost that like real spark thing,
lust.
That it means that it's actually just lust. That's not love, and love requires like a lot more work as well. And so I think your relationship does change, but I definitely think it's possible to stay in love for sure. It just might feel different.
I would love everybody listening to this podcast to get a notepad and get a pen and put two columns, and on one side write down all of the things that you love about your partner. So like maybe things that, you know, they've done in the past, the traits of their personality, things that they do day to day, and then put in the other column the things that you really don't like about them, and just see where you are balanced. Then you can write down things that you really require as a partner, as a wife, as a partner, and just see how those columns look. It's really interesting exercise. So the things that you really, really need, like for me, it's honesty, loyalty, sense of humor, physicality, whatever that looks like. I just need that skin on skin sometimes. And I also need that sense of adventure. They're my top five. I really feel it when any of those are like knocked out of shape. So just, it's a really simple exercise, Georgia. I want you to do it as well. Yeah. And then we'll have another conversation about it, because if yours aren't aligned with what you're currently being delivered in your relationship, you're going to feel so disappointed constantly. And you're going to feel that real sense of like, oh, I'm just not really being fulfilled by my partner. And I don't really feel that in love with them, because nothing that I require is actually being delivered. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's the whole love language thing.
Yeah,
as well,
the love
isn't
language.
It? Yeah. I actually don't know what mine is. I need to have a look and see what mine is.
Have a think and then let us know. Yeah. I'm dying to hear what yours are. Because I wonder if they're the same as James's.
I really don't know. Like, I actually need to look. I really have
Well,
no idea.
One of your biggest things is you're an amazing. So, like, I think probably honesty would be up there for you. Would you say that?
Yeah, I think, definitely. So five love languages, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts. No, I'm joking.
Spend some time
thinking
about it.
I will. I like all of them. I will have a thing. But definitely, if you haven't looked at it like I haven't, have a little look. It's actually really interesting.
Really interesting. There's a couple of questions here, which I can see that are, one is asking, how did you find your relationship therapist, Zoe? And was it really awkward?
Oh yeah, there's been a few about approaching, like getting therapy and stuff like that.
So mine was more of like an ultimatum, if I'm honest with you, because 'cause I'd reached the end of the feelings of like, there wasn't really a way back for me at that point. So I was like, if we don't get into therapy and we don't do the work, I'm not going to be around, I don't think. That's where that's kind of fundamentally where I got to. And so he was totally on board with that and wanted to do everything that he could to make it better and make us better. So yeah. I actually spoke to, she's amazing, Vic Shalit. She's been on the podcast before. She did an amazing episode, a Q&A episode, all about relationships. And I rung her and said, right, we need a relationship counselor. And who can you recommend? And she gave us Michael, who is just the best thing that's ever happened to us. And we're still seeing him every single week. It's not awkward in the slightest. It was slightly weird at the beginning because it was all on Zoom. And my therapy that I've done in the past has always been in a room with somebody else, but
yeah,
that's just the way things are done now. I really, really think that it's the glue that keeps us together because it gives us that hour every week and it gives us exercises to do afterwards. So it's an expense, absolutely, if you can afford it, or you can try and, you know, go and speak to your GP about getting some sort of therapy on the NHS. I highly recommend it.
Yeah. And also, like, if, you know, if therapy isn't an option, like financially, and like you can't, you know, you can't get it on the NHS, then there are actually so many books that have like these strategies and, you know, little exercises that you can do. So it's definitely, I think, worth looking at those as well. But I get like approaching it, I think, like Zoe said before, I think it's not about putting it on somebody else, like putting it on you, being like, I really feel like I would love to do this. Would you want to do it as well? Rather than, we need therapy. You know, yes. I think it's sometimes about the way you approach it, for sure.
At the end of the session, Michael makes us look at each other and he makes us, this bit I find really hard. He goes, right, Zoe, now I want you to tell Dozer how it makes you feel when he behaves like that, or, you know, when this happens, you know, what's, you know, what are those feelings that are going, you need to tell Dozer, look him in the eyes. And then I have to sit there and say, when you do this, and it's like your soul is just out there. It's big stuff, but it's really powerful. It's really, really powerful. Yeah. Try it. Might like it. Yeah. Do you want to do one on sex? Because we've had so many questions on sex.
I was going to say, there's loads on sex. There's things like, there's some things on how to bring back sex. We have a 1 year old and have only had sex twice since getting pregnant. There's lots on that. And I think we should probably do another sex Q&A actually, maybe with like an expert or something like that, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Because there's definitely like lots of different elements. But I think, was it on the Sheer Luck show when you did it recently, didn't you? And who put it out? Was it Louise who said how, like, she did a thing on couples having sex, like how often would two people be having sex if they've got kids? And what, I think, was it something like the most common was every other month or something like that?
No, it was every three months.
And I think if you're in that now, knowing that you're not alone hopefully will make you feel better and less stressed about the situation, because stress does not lead to having more sex, number one. But also, I think it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, you have to make time. One of my friends, she's a bit like me. Like, we talk about like avoiding having sex and like we joke about it a lot. But she said this year, her New Year's resolution, every Wednesday, her and her husband are like, not, they're definitely going to have sex, but they pretty much always do. But they make the time for each other every Wednesday
night.
Like
they do in Scandinavia. Yeah.
Is that what they do? Yes.
They put it in their diaries.
Yeah. She said every Wednesday night, because also they've got busy lives. He's got a busy job, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Every Wednesday night, they have a date with each other. So that's not going out. That's just the, we are doing something together. So that might be, as soon as they've had dinner, they will go upstairs and get in bed and watch a movie. And obviously it pretty much always leads to sex. Like they just schedule that time in. And she said it's amazing because she almost knows that it's coming, you know, like they're going to be having sex. So any like weird, you know, oh God, I haven't had a shower, or oh God, I feel a bit icky.
Haven't had a shave, or...
Well, yeah, you know, those sorts of things that just stop you from doing it and they're just silly, they've gone because she knows it's going to happen. And then also her husband kind of sort of knows that it's going to happen as well. So he thinks, oh, wow, like we're going to have, like, I know we're going to be having sex once a week. That's amazing. I look forward to it. I don't know. It really works for them.
I love that. I really love that. I think it's great. I think that would definitely work for some people. And I think actually, because even if you don't fancy it on that night, obviously you can then turn around and go,
No, thanks. I don't.
But I think bringing the fun back when it comes to sex is really important, because let's be honest, I don't know about you, but I find the whole, like, let's go upstairs, I'll undress myself, let's get into bed. I literally want to grab my nun's outfit and fucking, you know, find a pew to have a pray on. I just cannot get my head around it. I never, it's the most unsexy thing for me. So I try and bringing elements of play and fun back when life doesn't seem that fun and that playful is really important. Remember how, you know, how exciting and kind of, I guess, daring you were when you were a lot younger and the kids weren't around. And it doesn't have to be, you know, swinging from the chandeliers, but like just playful stuff. Like sometimes Dozzle will just send me a WhatsApp going, dick tonight, ? And like, it's just ridiculous. But it kind of makes me laugh. And, you know, and then I'm like, sure, okay, great.
Yeah.
Bring it back. Yeah. I think play and fun is really important. And also just taking the pressure off and remembering that actually it's supposed to be something that we enjoy. And, you know, having orgasms or not having orgasms, I mean, it's 9 times out of 10 I don't have them through penetrative sex anyway. It's just more about connection and skin on skin stuff. Taking that pressure off, it's lovely. Like, it really does bring you close together. We're going to do a Q&A on,
we'll get a sexpert in. Yeah, I think we should, for sure. So should we finish up there? This is your arena, so I'm all out of products that can help revive your relationship. So I'm going to leave this one to you.
You are correct, Georgia. Of course, this is my area of expertise. So I'm just going to kick us off. The first one, which I think I've been using this for about 2 or 3 years. It's the Botanics Massage Oil, Ylang Ylang and Mandarin. You get it from Boots. It's £9. I love it because firstly, it's vegan and cruelty free. So that makes me happy. The smell is so delicious. Also, it's just a really fun thing that you guys can do. I was talking about bringing fun and play back, and giving somebody a massage is one of the best ways that you can do that. And it doesn't always have to lead to sex, but, you know, there might be a little bit of a bonus at the end of it. Moving on to Yes Lube, George, which I've spoken to you about before, which I absolutely love. Again, is an Amazon purchase. And I think it's around £11 or £12. It's a water-based lubricant. It feels really, really natural. It's really hydrating. It's really gentle. And it's pH matched as well. So it's just, you just don't get any nasties with it. You know, sometimes you can use lube and it goes really weird and sticky. But I use that every time and I feel like it just only adds to the enjoyment. And then finally, somebody just recommended these to me and I'm going to get them because I feel like it just could be quite a fun thing for me and Doz to do. They're a card game called Better Together, about £16. And they basically are conversation prompts for a deeper, more meaningful relationship. So just like a little fun thing that you guys could do on date night, ask each other questions and then just wait for the response. We're here for you. And if we didn't get to your question today, we're really sorry, but thank you so much for sending them all in. As always, we'd love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow.
Yeah, and if you've got any topics you'd like us to cover in these Friday Q&As, then please do drop us a message on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.